1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 4.
Today on the Covenant Eyes podcast, Luke will be interviewing relationship expert Michael Smalley. Through their books and seminars, Michael and his wife Amy have been teaching couples for years about the principles that make healthy marriages. Today, Michael will talk about the problems and harms couples face who choose to watch pornography together. Michael will also talk about the problems caused by husbands who watch pornography on their own and how this can damage a marriage. Lastly, Michael will talk about the power and importance of accountability and using software like Covenant Eyes to help a husband who is fighting to stay pure.
My dad has been a marriage and family guy for well over 40 years, so I sort of grew up watching him do his thing. But I honestly didn't really know that I also wanted to help couples until probably my junior year in college at Baylor. And so my wife and I didn't start dating until my senior year, because she's older. Just by 11 months, she would tell you. She'd get very defensive at this point. And so, when I graduated Baylor, we were married and went away to Wheaton College. And that is really, honestly, at Wheaton is when Amy fell in love with psychology and marriage and ministry. And we've been doing it ever since for about 15 years. We do seminars together and we write books together. And then, of course, we have a program for couples in crisis called a Marriage Restoration Intensive. Mm-hmm. And that's where couples come in town for 1 or 2 days. So 8 to 16 straight hours of help and intervention to get couples back on track.
And you personally do those interventions as well,
or
do you have other staff that helps out with that, or is it mostly just you
actually.
Guys? Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it's my wife and I do them as well, and then we have about 5 other people that work with us, and then I've been steadily training. I just had a recent training. I trained 60 different therapists in our intensive model. So I'm trying to get as many people as possible doing these things because they work really well.
And the training you're doing for these intensives, is this so that you can have more local ministry in your area, or is this something that you're wanting to fan out across in other places, in other cities, to have that kind of thing?
We think nationally, and so
we've
done them in California and Arizona and I'm trying to think of all the states, Washington. And so I want as many people around the country being able to help couples as possible. So
that's great. Obviously, a lot of the folks who are tuning in right now listening, their chief interest right now is their marriage and how it can recover from problems due to pornography. I noticed on your blog, you mentioned that you run into this issue of husbands and wives actually watching pornography together, and that either one or both of them don't see any problem with this. How do you counsel someone who's in this position? They're actually engaging, watching it together, and what do you tell them about that and how it could affect their marriage?
Yeah, you know, it's the problem with pornography is that it what it ultimately does is objectify people. And so, you know, men and women aren't men and women anymore. They're really just objects for your satisfaction. And so what couples start experiencing when they get into pornography, even together, and not, you know, having to hide it from each other, but actually watching that stuff together, is that they will gradually start seeing a very dramatic decrease in sort of their sensitivity towards each other. And here's one of the biggest dangers of pornography, period, is sex is a degrading, and I don't mean this in the healthy sense, when we are handling sex unhealthy, so that's having affairs and, you know, not doing it the way that it God intended, it degrades, and it keeps getting worse. And so what I'm constantly telling people is that we have to put boundaries on our sexual relationships. So, like, for example, my wife and I, we have boundaries. We talk and we say, look, this is what we're willing to do. This is what we're comfortable with. This is what we feel like is fun, but we're not going to go outside of this structure, because the moment you start doing that, it keeps getting worse and you keep needing different and more kind of strange or even bizarre, oftentimes, things to get turned on and sexual climax and all that kind of stuff. It's you just keep needing more unless you decide. That's what's really interesting, is that if you decide and put the boundary up, then couples who have boundaries report higher sexual satisfaction than couples who do not.
I've heard it explained that when oneness is your goal, then you're going to work towards that oneness. But if it's simply greater pleasure, greater orgasm, greater whatever, bigger and better, however you want to define it, in sexuality, that when it's the when pleasure becomes your goal, you become desensitized to what pleasure you have, and you're just continually seeking greater and more highs, sexual highs, through pornography or through other things, whatever those may be. And you're right, it takes what is in a person, what is inherently good that God gave us, is something that's sexual, beautiful for marriage. It takes that and it objectifies it.
Yeah, it does. That's, I mean, here's the deal. You'll never be satisfied if you don't have a boundary.
Mm.
It never gets quenched.
That's for the, I mean, obviously for couples who are watching it together. But most of the time when we talk to different couples here, it's most of the time the husband watching porn, many times without the wife knowing, sneaking around watching it, and the wife finds out, either finds the history on the guy's computer or whatever. And, of course, there's a lot of feelings that are there that are very difficult to deal with. Usually when this happens, the wife goes into a state of panic, and she calls us or some other ministries or some other counseling services and tries to process through those things. Do you encounter this when you travel and speak and when people come to you for help?
Absolutely. And, you know, what's scary today is, you know, when I was growing up, porn, you just didn't have an easy access to porn. And so I never watched it growing up, because I never looked at magazines or movies because I couldn't get it. I'm not saying I wouldn't have wanted to, but there's no way I was, you know, ever going to walk up to the Circle K and say, can I have, bubble gum, a Coke, and, oh, yeah, that Playboy. This was never going to happen. I was a good kid. I went to church. And so it was very easy to say no. Now, today, man, I could be in my bathroom with my iPhone and have complete privacy, and so that's what, I guess, really, really scares me. And so many of the couples that come in for our marriage restoration intensives are struggling with that and with the effects of it, from, you know, the casual user, the guy who feels guilty and doesn't want to do it and falls maybe once a month or, you know, 6-7 times a year, all the way to, you know, full-blown addictions. And you know, the biggest encouragement I always give people, and that's, again, man, why I love Covenant Eyes, is that if someone is smart enough to know that I don't need this a part of my life, then the only real way to get any kind of significant help is by getting into accountability. And I think that's what Covenant Eyes just provides, such a easy way to keep each other accountable. That it sort of encourages the guy or the lady, and that you know, female usage of online pornography is increasing. And by the way, if it is a full-blown addiction, which I usually tell people, if it's a daily habit and you're spending money on it, then you are most certainly addicted. You know, at that point, the husband or the wife really needs to get an individual sex addiction help.
You were mentioning about accountability and how it helps the process, someone who's struggling with this sin and dealing with those issues. I've also noticed how accountability also helps to build that trust between a husband and wife again. If he's been sneaking around watching pornography, or he's recently been convicted about it and gets accountability, many times that really helps the wife, for instance, to begin the process of building the process of trust all over again, so that there's not this sort of sneaking around. When your internet life is no longer this anonymous, behind-closed-door activity, but is something that is out in the open, something that you are able to share with another person, without fear of condemnation, that changes the way people surf, and it certainly changes how people trust someone who's perhaps got involved in pornography in the past. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree. And here's another really important thing is a lot of couples, when this comes up or, you know, the husband gets caught or whatever, make a really big mistake on the wife being the accountability partner. And I would want to just highlight that wives should not be their husband's accountability partner, because A, most wives wouldn't understand sort of the draw to pornography, because it's just it's a completely different chemical reaction and emotional reaction for a man wanting to watch porn or a female wanting to watch pornography. And so I think it adds unfair or undue stress to the wife. But in terms of rebuilding trust, what's nice is that the wife knows if he's got an accountability partner. So, Luke, if you and I are accountability partners, then my wife would know that she can call you if she has the need.
Yeah.
So if she asks me, are you doing okay, if you kind of honor that commitment, I say yes. If for some reason she's thinking, I don't know if I believe that, because of whatever reason, she can call you and
right.
say, hey, is this accurate? And then you get your little report out. Yeah, man, I see nothing on here. So
great. Yeah.
It helps.
We have a number of people who are accountability partners, husbands and wives, who either have chosen to be accountability partners or haven't for different reasons. But most of the time, the wives who still get their husband's report, they still say that reserve the right to look at the report when they want to, for the most part, the thing that's comforting to them is knowing that there are other men that are holding him accountable and that she's not the only one. So if a problem does come up, she doesn't have to be the one that he goes to, spills his guts and confesses these sort of things, because that brings all kinds of emotional trauma to the marriage and stuff. But if he's going to other men primarily, and you're right, if she just kind of reserves the right to check in on the situation when she feels like she needs to, she can. But for the most part, I think men need to be accountable to other men. Husbands need to be accountable to other men in this process. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
You've been listening to our interview with Michael Smalley. For more information about the Smalley's Marriage Restoration Intensive Program, go to GoSmalley.com. In our next podcast, Michael will give more sound advice to wives who struggle with inadequacy due to their husband's porn use. Michael will also talk to men about how porn negatively affects their hearts and how they can make the necessary changes to spiritually grow their marriages. This has been the Covenant Eyes Podcast with your host, Luke Gilkerson. Read more articles on or listen to more podcasts at the Covenant Eyes blog, Breaking Free. Go to CovenantEyes.com/blog.